Hello, and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers, who had never seen Survivor before, started from the very beginning and have made it all the way through the first 16 seasons. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris, and this week we're going to talk about the end of Season 16, Episodes 13, 14, and 15. And so with this, we've finished the first 16 seasons, and we've watched four modern-day seasons, which means this is our 20th season of Survivor that we finished.
Wow.
Out of 44, we're almost halfway.
That's a lot of Survivor.
Yeah, let's just get into it.
I told someone recently that Survivor came up, and I was talking about how I like Survivor, and they're like, oh, like, you're a huge fan and stuff. And I'm like, I do really like Survivor. But to be clear, I've only seen the first, like, 16 seasons and then the new era. And they were like, you know, 16 seasons is a lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was like, yeah, but there's been 44. So, like, I've seen less than half of Survivor.
And yet, name another show you've watched 20 seasons of.
I can't. That's fair.
Yeah. I've watched all of Grey's except for, like, half of the most recent season. And that's, like, 18 or 19. So I've surpassed that point now.
I don't think that I would be surprised if I've seen 20 seasons of The Simpsons, but it's the only thing that might come close.
I definitely haven't. I was going to say, like, Jeopardy might be my next closest. Their seasons are way longer. Like, I've probably watched more episodes of Jeopardy than Survivor, for sure. But I don't know.
Yeah.
You know who's in Jeopardy in this episode of Survivor? Eric.
Eric Reichenbach.
If it smells like a rat, give it cheese. We get some time at camp. Eric wants to go to exile to try to find the idol. And others don't want Eric or Natalie going to exile because they don't want them finding the idol. We see some
of... like Amanda, Suri, and Parvati have been in this like three alliance since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled in Natalie and Alexis. Alexis is now gone. So they really don't want Eric to get it. But they kind of know, like, if Eric gets it, Natalie's out.
Mm-hmm. We get some of Amanda trying to talk to Eric and, like, team up with him a little bit. She doesn't know if he can trust her. I think she's mostly just trying to, like, keep on good terms with him, basically, so she can control him a little bit. We go to the reward challenge, where the reward will be a helicopter trip to a resort. And it is trivia about past seasons of Survivor, which were not super challenging questions, I didn't think.
Really? I thought that you would not be good at this.
There's only one I think I missed. So the first one was, on which season did the castaway have a pet snake? That was Rupert from Pearl Islands.
Do you remember? They said it in the episode, but now, do you remember the name of the snake?
No.
Listeners, that was about a 10-second pause there. That'll get cut later. Balboa.
Balboa. Yeah.
For whatever reason, as soon as he said the thing, I was like, Rupert and Balboa, Rupert and Balboa. I knew it immediately, which I don't think says, going back to the, am I a big fan?
You're not a fan or anything.
I guess I'm a big fan of the show.
On which season did a shark bite a survivor and they bit it back? And that was Richard Hatch in the All-Stars. I liked how these questions were kind of vaguely multiple choice because they didn't have to get like super specific. It was just they had to say what season and they had these like dials they spun. And so... they could technically like kind of get luckier and guess it correctly, but that would be tough to do too.
I also liked that they were not like, which survivor got fifth place in All Stars or something. Or like it was, they were more about like random shit that happened than about like specific game questions.
Yeah. So we see, in which season did a tribe mate ask another to pee on their hand? That was Marquesas when John asked Kathy to pee on his hand from a sting.
I got that one wrong. I forgot about that one.
During which season was someone evacuated after falling in a fire? That was Australia, Michael Scoopin. Can't forget that one. The sleeve of his arm just coming off.
Yeah, I will never forget that. And it was a good bit of back.
When did we first divide into four tribes? This was the one I messed up. I forgot about this. And that was
Exile Island.
Exile Island with the age and gender, which was Suri's season.
Yeah.
Eric wins this and chooses to take Amanda with him on the reward.
Sorry, that one Parvati is part of this, and Parvati guessed Cook Islands, which she was on and did have four tribes.
Right.
And it, like, pans to her when Jeff says that she's wrong, and she looks so confused, and I laughed out loud. It was very funny. Because she's like, what? No, we had four seasons. But
it was, that was the sort of one where I was like, Cook Islands? But I was also like, that seems too easy. It can't be that. But I couldn't remember. I forgot about the Exile Island one.
Well, and Exile Island did it for like one episode and then switched episode two.
Yeah. So Eric wins. He takes Amanda with him on the helicopter reward and sends Parvati to exile. At camp. I don't remember this part. I have noted, I said, Natalie thinks she's controlling Eric, but she's wrong. But I don't remember what that was meaning.
I don't know what that means either.
Because I think she probably is. I have noted Ceree likes watching Natalie stress out over not being chosen. It might have been regarding that Eric didn't choose Natalie to go on the reward with her, I guess, maybe. We get Eric realizing, like, uh-oh, I've made deals with all of these women at camp, and now they're all talking to each other. This is not good for me.
Right.
On the reward trip, they are enjoying the spa. At Exile Island, Parvati is feeling relaxed and confident because of her alliance with Ceree and Amanda. She's like, we're controlling this thing. I don't need to worry. The immunity challenge, they have to solve these puzzles where they'll connect ropes, which give them like coordinates to dig in the sand, and then they get puzzle pieces and assemble that. And Eric wins this again. So he won both challenges this episode, and he has immunity, which means he's safe, right? There's no way he could get sent home. He just won immunity.
Right, exactly.
Which, back at camp, Amanda or Parvati says, if he didn't have that necklace, he'd be gone. And Suri's like, huh. If he doesn't have that necklace, he would be gone. Natalie, go sweet talk this boy. Like, let's make this happen.
This scene felt scripted. Like, I know it's not, because it's just like Ceree having that realization was perfect. It felt so scripted.
Well, this whole like outcome of the rest of this episode, it's like somebody would pitch this and another person would be like, there's no way somebody would do that. That's stupid. That's not realistic.
Natalie says that. She's like, what do you want me to do? Sweet talk him? And they're like, go tell him that, like, you know, you can't trust him anymore. And so the only way that you can trust him again is actions are louder than words. And she's like, she literally says, who would be stupid enough to do that, to believe that?
Yeah. So she goes and talks to him and she's like, listen, Ceree will like go along with us and vote out Amanda. But the only way you're going to convince Ceree that you're on our side, or like that she can trust you, is to give Natalie, to give me the necklace. And Eric's like, yeah, okay, like, but do I have to give up the necklace? And he like kind of buys the plan, but he's like, I don't really want to have to give up the necklace.
Well, it starts with Natalie being like, okay, hear me out, I need you to give me immunity. And he's like, nope, non-starter, definitely not happening, absolutely no way. And then she's like, well, here's the deal. And he's like, okay, maybe.
Yeah. And so we go to tribal council, and goddamn, does he give that immunity idol or immunity necklace, individual immunity necklace, to Natalie? And they go vote, and he gets voted out 4-1. And his exit line is, you guys drive me crazy. And then James from the jury shouts, I've lost my reign as dumbest survivor ever.
Yeah, because as soon as Eric picks it, like takes it off of his neck, the entire jury goes crazy because they realize what is happening. And they are like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How is he doing this? So did you know about this moment?
No.
Oh, wow. That's what I knew that this happened. And so I was watching this episode as like a, how the fuck do they get him to do this? Because this is wild. This is the reason why a couple episodes ago we talked about Amy getting voted out. And I was like, I was surprised because I thought Amy and Eliza were both in this, and I was wrong about both of them apparently. But I thought Amy and Eliza were part of this plan, and clearly I was incorrect. But, I had heard that like I had heard about the Black Widow Brigade getting Eric to give up immunity. And so I knew that like it was going to happen at some point this season. I didn't know exactly when, but it was fascinating to watch because once they mentioned it, I was like, okay, I know how this is going to end up. How do they actually get him to do this? And
Turns out it wasn't that hard.
Well, it's not that hard, but it also, like, what they say is actually kind of convincing. Like, he had, like, lost all trust by, like, saying all sorts of stuff and making plans, mm-hmm. and they all kind of got mad at him, and then he wins immunity. So then the plan is like, hey, I'm willing to work with you, but your word means nothing to me right now. I need you to make action because your word has, you've proven that your word doesn't mean anything. And so there has to be some sort of tangible action to take, which, like, that component of it is perfect and brilliant. Mm-hmm. And, like, he did that to himself kind of, and it, like, makes it way more believable because they're like, no, we don't trust you because you lied to me and I caught you in that lie. And yeah. You've already admitted that.
Which I feel like instead he should have been like, he should have been like, hey, I've won the last three challenges. I'll just chance it and, like, just try to win out. Like, I feel like that's what he should have done and, like, just stuck with it and gone down to final four and then be like, if I can win one more challenge, I'm good.
Well, but that is where they are like, here's the deal. No one on the jury is going to vote for you. You don't have any friends there. You need to show them that you are, like, not a rat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Which is what they pull in. Amanda and Parvati are not supposed to be part of this plan. Like, Natalie and Sari and Eric are theoretically voting together.
Right.
And so they tell Amanda and Parvati, like, we need you to yell at him and tell him that he's trash in front of the jury so that he has extra motivation to actually go along with this plan. And so they, like, rip into him and they are like, you are, like, you're so two-faced. We've been so helpful to you this whole game and you weren't willing to help us when we needed it. Like, you suck, blah, 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 blah. And so Eric does it and he gives up immunity and immediately, like, it's rough to get voted out and blindsided like this. But then also the four people that blindside him, like, laugh and hug each other as he is walking out. I was like, that is crushing.
Yeah.
It's rough stuff.
Yeah, it was, like, brilliantly executed. It was great. And it leads us into the final of the season, Stir the Pot. We get some celebrating, and as a final four, they're like, let's stir the pot, baby. As they, the, then they do the a little
meaning, yeah, like witches in a cauldron.
Oh, is that what, I guess I just like, stirring the pot is usually just like kind of shaking things up is how that turn of phrase is kind of used.
Right. But they, every time they did it, it was, they like did like a witch's laugh. They were, they
well,
were
no, that's stirring the pot,
but they also did like a witch's laugh. I think they were doing like a cauldron.
Okay. We go to the immunity challenge where they have to they start on a perch over water, pull a bucket up and pour water into a bamboo chute that raises keys, and then take those to the shore to unlock ladder rungs and climb a ladder for victory. And we've seen at least this first part, I don't know if it was paired with this exact second half, but we've seen similar
second half before, but yeah, right. I don't know if they were paired together or not.
Amanda gets the win here. And so she has immunity. So at camp, we get the four of them talking about who could stay. Sari is kind of nervous that Natalie is replacing her in the, like, Parvati, Amanda, Sari alliance. We go to tribal council. Sari mentions this worry and being on the bottom of the alliance, which Amanda takes offense to. She's like, no, it's always been like the three of us. What makes you think you're on the bottom? And Sari's like, well, clearly, like, Amanda and Parvati are obviously closer, which is true. Like, I was kind of surprised by Amanda's, like, offense taken here, but I guess maybe she is blind to that. It does really seem like, I don't know. I guess maybe it's not that she's blind to it. Like, maybe she actually doesn't really feel like she's closer to Parvati than Sari, but as a viewer, that seems obvious.
Well, and I don't think we've seen Amanda say that she won't vote for Parvati, but Parvati said that she wouldn't vote for Amanda.
Yeah.
And so, like, at least from Parvati's viewpoint, she's closer to Amanda than she is to Sari. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it is wild to me because it was like, it wasn't until the second round of the game, I think, when they, like, sweet talked Sari and got Sari into this alliance. Parvati and Amanda have been together since day one, and Sari was not with them on day
right.
one.
Yeah.
Like, Sari was clearly the last addition to this alliance. Sari's totally in the right here. Like, she's just like, yeah, no, this is how it is. Mm-hmm. Granted, I guess both of them are in the right because it's just, like, how they feel, basically.
Yeah.
And their feelings are valid. But Amanda kind of, like, gaslights Sari a little bit into, like, thinking that this is invalid, and Ciri's like, no, no, this is definitely a thing.
Yeah. But either way, like, that conversation is important really for, like, the next round of tribal council, because Natalie's the one that gets voted out here 3-1. And so after tribal, Amanda talks to Ciri, and Ciri's like, yeah, I've been in the bottom of the alliance. Amanda doesn't really get it, but Parvati's like, yeah, no, I get it. Like, you have been. That makes sense. Amanda kind of just says that she's kind of losing it emotionally. She's been on Survivor for like 2.5 months this year. And so it's just been a lot for her, which is very fair. Trying to, like, imagine living 2.5 months of just like pure paranoia all the time. That's got to be exhausting.
I wonder if they all know at this point, like, if she was been allowed to tell them, like, she wouldn't know that she lost, but she would know that she's a finalist.
Yeah.
I wonder if they know that.
It wouldn't surprise me if at least Parvati knew, but, like, privately. Like, I bet she's not allowed to tell her, but I bet she told her.
Yeah, that makes sense.
They set their final chicken free. They decide that they don't need chicken for the last couple days, and so they set their final chicken Gloria free. And then they get tree mail, finding out that it is going to be a final two this season instead of a final three, which they're like, shit, that means we got more of this to go. They do the rite of passage through all of, like, the previous contestants. And then we head to the immunity challenge. We've seen this one before. They have to, like, hold this ball in between cylinders that they're pushing on from the side. They all make it through the first few rounds, and then Parvati drops. And then finally, Ciri drops. And so Amanda wins again, back-to-back challenges. And so that also means that Amanda will get to decide who she wants to go to the finals with her, Parvati or Ciri. And so we get some time at camp of both of them trying to talk to Amanda and convince her. And then we go to tribal council, where Amanda talks about how it's a really hard decision. Amanda says Ciri is very convincing, so she would, like, be really convincing to the jury, but that Parvati had a really good social game. Amanda's in tears over the decision, which the jury seems, like, annoyed or doesn't really care about. And Ciri gets voted out. She is gone. And so the final two are going to be Parvati versus Amanda.
Real quick, do you think this season was always going to be a final two? Or do you think that the medevac, and specifically James's medevac, forced that?
I think it probably was always going to be, because I don't think they're allowed to change stuff on the fly like that. Like, I think there's, like, game show rules where they have to, like, have stuff planned out, but I don't know.
Oh, but, like, they did, like, the contestants didn't know. So I feel like it would be, they'd be okay to change it.
Yeah, I just think that, like,
they got, like, clearance to change it, I guess.
Yeah, because I think shows have to be careful to, like, because there could be argument, like, then Ciri could, like, sue Survivor and be like, hey, it was supposed to be a final three originally, and I would have definitely won a final three, and you made it a final two, and so I got eliminated. Like, you cost me the win. And the shows have to be careful of, like, doing stuff that, like, controlling the outcome, basically, I think, is the thing. And so I think they would have to be careful with stuff like that.
Oh, that's interesting. Huh.
I don't, like, this is kind of speaking out of my ass, but, like, I know that there are game shows laws, which the movie Quiz Show is about, because they're, was, like, behind the scenes controlling of the game and the wins and stuff. So I don't know how much that carries over and, like, actually fits into this, but
one of the reasons why I think that it was not meant to be a final two is because they have 8 jurors.
Right.
So, like,
there could be a tie very easily.
And I don't know how you break that tie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there can also be a tie with a final three, but then you just, like, eliminate whoever's in third place and they vote.
Right.
But, like, I don't know what they would have done if this was 4-4. Decide by fire making, or do they tie and split the money, or I don't know what happens then.
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine that had to have been interviews of Jeff right after the season, and that had to have been asked. So I wonder if the answer is out there. I haven't tried looking for this. I will say, early in the season, you were like, I know who wins the season, and I didn't. And then as it got going a little bit, I was like, oh, I think I probably know. I thought it was going to be Ciri. I thought this was her season that she was going to win. And so I was surprised. I mean, I wasn't surprised, I think, like, leading up to this tribal council, because I was like, there's no way Amanda's going to choose to take Ciri with her. So I guess Ciri's gone. But I did not know who was going to win this when Ciri was gone. I was like, oh, well, I don't know now, because I thought it was going to be her. So we get a little bit of time. Did you find stuff?
No, I don't feel like I can respond to what you just said without spoiling future seasons, so I'm just not going to say anything.
Okay. We get a little bit of time back at camp with Amanda and Parvati as the final two. They build a big fire. I feel like not a whole lot there before we head to the final tribal council.
Yeah, I think that we kind of just like go straight there.
Yeah. Amanda opens by saying she wanted to be loyal and play strong and gives thanks to all of the jury. Parvati says that she came in as a flirt, but then realized she wanted to play differently and more aggressively and to beat the competition before they could beat her. And then we go through all of the questioning. There was like some general, it was clear several of these people really don't like Amanda. Some of it is like I think they think she's like too emotional or that her emotions are completely fake and she's just like, it's all an act and she doesn't actually like care that much about some of these things. I don't get it. Like, I feel like I haven't seen that side or that edit to understand where this is all coming from. Because like all of the emotions coming from Amanda feel real to me, but maybe it's just people who are like see this emotional woman and assume she's faking it and using it to her advantage. I don't know.
Oh, that is interesting to me. I have had to like correct myself as I watch Amanda in both this Final Tribal Council and China's Final Tribal Council because I agree that it feels like she's acting.
Oh, see, I feel it. It comes off as genuine to me.
It comes off as super fake to me, and I've realized that it is not fake, and so I'm like, no, this is like just how she expresses it, and I'm reading it wrong, but I totally understand the like it feels like she is really overdoing it.
Wait, so how you said you realize that's not fake? How do you know that?
Oh, mostly just like that she doesn't seem to turn it off when people get annoyed by it. And that like I feel like it would have come up at some point that this was like a strategy of hers if it was fake,
Yeah.
but like that's never brought up.
Yeah, it's just some of the ways that people address it. Because I guess you probably viewed them differently, but because I thought it was genuine, I felt like we're just like mean. Like Natalie says, Amanda, you're beautiful and strong, but you always looked glaze over. Was that your strategy to play the zombified pretty girl pageant queen cliche? And she's like, no, I'm a strong woman. I have substance. And I was like, Jesus, Natalie, like,
And that like zombified pretty woman cliche, I do not get from Amanda, but like especially when under questioning, and I think it is when she like feels like she's under pressure, the like oh, I don't remember who it was, PG maybe last season said like called her like doe-eyed or something, and I think that she I do my initial reaction to her is that she has like played up her emotions to get her way, and that she was trying to do that now, but it's not working in this scenario, which is probably an unfair like evaluation of her as a person, but that is like the vibe that I got in both Final Tribal Councils.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like I wish I'd seen an edit with some people, like some confessionals earlier in the season of people talking about Amanda or their thoughts towards Amanda, because some of these just felt like they came out of nowhere. Like Natalie said that, and then Eliza said, "Amanda, you were strategic. However, listening to you talk made me want to kill myself sometimes. I don't know if I can vote for someone so superficial," which that like altogether kind of surprised me from Eliza, because I feel like I don't know, just like so nonchalantly saying like made me want to kill myself, like. Yeah, I really didn't like that line. It was just like a few times of people just being like, man, you guys hate Amanda. And it just
Yeah, I
really.
agree with that. I also think that like lines like that are not okay and have never been okay, but I think that culturally we are a lot more sensitive to things saying like I want to kill myself than we were in 2008 or whenever this was.
I was trying to think. Eric, he was like 5 to 6 days ago, I would have 100% voted for you, Amanda, but now I've got questions. I felt burned and ripped apart. She says, everything I said, I was honest. You were unloyal and tried to get me voted out. I'm sorry. He says, too late for sorries, but then he ends up voting for her. So that's nice. James, ends up voting for Amanda also, still mad at Parvati. Ozzy was the closer here. He started by saying, I think I might be the biggest idiot. I guess this has been a common theme with me. I get mad when jury members are mad at gameplay, and they're like, you used me. And I'm like, it's the game. That's what the game is. So like part, yeah. So Ozzy said, I'm truly hurt by what you did to me. You put a price on our friendship and you threw us away like garbage. And I was like, Ozzy, it's a game. Chill, man. But he says, I don't want words. I don't want to talk to you. You took away 14 days I could have spent with Amanda. And I was like, oh, then he goes to Amanda and he says, I've got real feelings for you. I honestly feel like I started to fall in love with you. You're amazing. And I wanted everyone to know that. I'm glad I didn't win Cook Island so that I could be here and meet you. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I teared up at that part, which was a big twist. Cause right when he said the stuff to Parvati in my notes, I wrote, fuck off, Ozzy. And then he said that stuff to Amanda. And I was like, all right, damn it. You pulled me back in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very sweet. Mm-hmm. Ozzy and Amanda are cute together, I guess.
So they all vote and then we get to see the results and Parvati wins 5-3. Which Amanda basically lost, like, for the same reason she lost before, just too emotional, kind of. Couldn't defend her game enough, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I think also she, like, I think Parvati had a better social game. Like, she had more friends on the jury. People liked her more.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it was, so 5-3 means that if one person had switched, we would have had a 4-4 tie, and then I don't know what the how they would have handled that.
Which I saw, I was trying to find out what happened with Final 2 versus Final 3 there. And I saw an interview with Eliza saying that she was pretty sure she knew how everyone else was going to vote and considered voting for Amanda to force the tie because she thought that would be exciting, but voted for Parvati because she actually thought Parvati deserved it.
That's fair.
It almost was a tie.
We have a little bit of time with the reunion. We learn that James's finger is okay. We learn that Amanda and Ozzy are still dating as of the reunion, which is like a few months after filming. I don't know. Do you know anything about how long they dated?
I don't.
Me either.
I could find that out pretty quick.
I did see a Reddit post. Somebody posted, are there any players who thought they won their season and then were wrong? Which I didn't read through like that closely because I didn't want to see spoilers. But the top post was that somebody said they think that they read that Amanda thought she won China until she showed up to Micronesia and saw that there was no other winners there and was like, ooh, maybe I didn't win.
Really? The jury at China was real mean to her.
Yeah. And then somebody said Todd on a Drop Your Buffs podcast going into the China reunion. Courtney thought Todd won. Todd thought Courtney won. So I don't know.
I think they dated for a couple of years, but not,
that's pretty good.
Not like super long. After that, Ozzy's next long-term girlfriend was, can you guess who?
Parvati.
A celebrity, but not from Survivor.
That's a big world.
Uh-huh.
Alexis Bledel.
No. Similarly, like, child star and still famous energy. Ozzy and Lindsay Lohan.
Ah, cool. Other things from the reunion. Mary, who was eliminated very early. Maybe first. Was she first to go? Very early. Is going to be marrying Ryan from Pearl Islands, they tell us. They got engaged 3 days after their first date, which I rewound to be like, did I hear that correctly? And yeah, that's what they said.
Yeah. Ryan Pearl Islands. Rhino.
Yeah. The top three fan favorites for this season were Amanda, Ozzy, and James. And we hear that James wins again. He won last season, won this season. He gets another 100,000 for that. So he's doing pretty good. And we learn that next season is going to be Gabon, Africa, Earth's Last Eden. It's going to be 18 people and it's going to be shot in HD, which means I think we're finally done with full screen Survivor.
Yeah, I maybe weirdly don't notice that at all.
Oh, I do. The HD will be nice. It'll be cool to see the increase in quality. I'm excited for it. Another thing I'm excited for, because that's season 17, and then we'll watch season 45, and then our first comeback of going back to the old seasons between 45 and 46, Token Sheens. We get to see Tyson finally.
Oh, nice. I didn't realize that was season 18.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. All right. That was the season. That was a good season.
Yeah. I mean, we'll do more ranking next time. But I think that I would put Micronesia at the top for me.
I think so too.
It was just like every tribal council after the merge was exciting, and pre-merge was very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a. It ended up being, I guess I knew people had listed it as their favorite, but it ended up being better than I expected. Because when it was fans versus favorites and it started, I was like, the favorites are probably just going to like annihilate the fans, and then it'll be like a fight between the favorites, and that might not be that exciting beginning. But it really was like, there was like little bits of that, but it was a nice mixture of like the favorites having to like also protect themselves. I think the fact that the favorites split into two groups is what really like kept it exciting, because yeah, then they were trying to like
all of the fan stuff with like Chet and Tracy mm-hmm. and Kathy in the beginning was all very like,
yeah,
there's very few episodes that I would like knew what was happening every time.
Yeah, and there was lots of good, like the stuff that kept it exciting was some a little bit of too big of gameplay, like some people were trying to think too far down the road and ignoring the short-term stuff, like with Joel not getting rid of like Chet and then ended up getting screwed over by Chet mm-hmm. and like people trying to think end game before worrying about like the current game. Yeah, that was a great season. I'm excited for Gabon because I've heard that's also a good season.
Yeah, I have heard that it is a good season because it has a lot of kooky characters making a lot of stupid gameplay decisions is like what I have heard about this season. So I'm pretty excited. I heard it's like one of the funniest seasons of Survivor.
Well, okay. That'll be exciting. Do you have a luxury item this week?
Yes. So I mentioned last week that I have been playing some like classic card games on an app on my phone. And one of those includes spades. I've been playing a lot of like spades against computers. And so my luxury item is going to be specifically the experience of bidding nil in spades and making it. It's just very satisfying and fun and feels very good every time that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. I used to, in college, I played a lot of Yahoo games where you could do like spades against the computer, against like random people on the internet, and do that with other card games. I used to actually like learned a lot of card games that way because I would just like join a game and try to figure out the rules as I went. Like I learned Bridge that way and stuff like that.
Oh, damn, that's fun.
I probably don't remember exactly how to play it now, but I used to give myself challenges of like, all right, I'm going to try to win a game of spades where I'm only allowed to bid zero. And so every hand I have to bid zero and then just like see what happens.
I first, every time when I'm playing this game, I look like, can I bid zero? And if not, then what do I have to bid? But like, I often am like, I could either go zero or four. But yeah. Because when I'm against the computer, I don't, like the stakes are a lot lower. Like I don't feel like I'm going to piss my friend off across the table if I like make a risky move.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, I have the queen jack of spades. Those could get taken by the ace and king. It'll be fine.
So yeah, if you keep playing spades and find yourself like pretty handedly always beating the computer, just try that challenge where you don't have the option. Like even if you get double ace of spades, you got to bid zero. Like it just always has to be a zero bid no matter what.
Oh, because I'll lose that bid, but then the goal is to still win the game.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I should do
that. My item this week is, I've maybe talked about this before, but I'm going to say mini golf.
Ooh, yeah.
I love mini golf. I played some over the weekend. At the time of recording this last weekend, I went to Orcas Island in Washington for a friend's wedding. And we had a few days there to kind of just hang out on the island. And one of those days we went and played mini golf and it was a pretty good course. Most exciting part was one of the holes of the course was shaped like a little boat, a wooden boat that was literally floating on water. And so you would walk on it. And when you hit the ball and as you walked around, the boat would like tilt in the water and your ball would move. And one of my friends was able to like walk in such a way that the ball just kept moving and he got it to go right into the hole. I tried to do that and it did not work out.
Could you theoretically get a hole in zero?
I guess maybe. I think like nobody in our group mentioned that. But theoretically, yes, you could have. Well, I think it would have been tough because I think with how the hole was, where the hole was like up a decent hill. So you had to, that might have been tough to do actually.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, it was cool. There was a hole that also had a loop in it. So you like hit it under this metal path and have to hit it hard enough to loop around. I feel like there's a couple other fun ones. There's one that was like a Plinko board where you like hit it and it bounces off all these things that goes down the hill. Oh, and the final hole, when you hit it in, it goes in an orca's mouth and then its blowhole sprays water.
Well, that's fun.
Was cool. That was fun. Yeah. So that was a pretty cool course. I love mini golf. It's fun.
This will be released well after our family vacation that we are taking, but we should try to find some good mini golf around our family vacation.
Yeah. Yeah. There's probably some up there. I feel like I might have even already messaged that there was some, unless that was last year's. I don't know. I love mini golf. All right, listeners, let us know your thoughts on mini golf or your thoughts on going zero in spades or other exciting things you can do in card games, like shooting the moon in hearts or something. Email us at email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20. And next week, we're going to be talking about season 17, and we're going to be looking at just episodes 1 and 2. So just the beginning of 17. And we'll, our plan is to do 1, 2, and then 3, 4, 5, and then 6, 7, 8, and then 9, 10, 11, and then 12, 13, 14. And then we're going to have 1 week before season 45, where we're going to hopefully do like a big contestant breakdown of all the season 45 contestants. And then we'll get in on that new season. For this week of Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oi, 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 oi.